I have the privilege of introducing our next speaker. So Pastor Tom was born and raised in Philly in a non-Christian home. He was led to believe and trust in Jesus at 15. He experienced the witness of a Jewish family and a local sports-minded pastor. Tom attended Cairn University and graduated from Tennessee Temple in Chattanooga. He earned his master's degree from Millersville in history and secondary education. He played college soccer, basketball, and baseball, and spent summers in camp ministry for teenagers. He spent 6 years on staff at LBC, mostly in coaching and student ministry. My bad. In 1983, God led the family to a mission school in Okinawa, Japan. Several years later, the move was to Warsaw, Poland, and Munster, Germany? Is that right? Okay. To help young churches grow and develop. In November 2012, Pastor Tom joined the staff here at CNBC. Tom and Susan have been married for 35 years and have two adult children and 7 grandkids living near them in the Bronx town Akron area. Oh my. Can't talk. Welcome, Pastor Tom.
Thank you, Nathan. You can go to junior church, too. Nathan and I have something in common. We both part of Millersville University here in Lancaster County, and that was, for me, many years ago. Anyway, thank you, Nathan, and thank you, Heverin family and Claire and Nancy, yeah, for that rendition, really special. Appreciate all the music since I selected it. Good job. All right. Today, you're going to need to listen quick, because I'm not going to be here long. So here we go. I'm going to put the first slide up. Is it working? It is working. All right. Good. About a month ago, and Jim shook me up a little bit last Sunday because he talked about the Guardians of the Galaxy. And today I want to mention, about a month ago, I have Wednesdays off, so it's a little bit of a special deal at Penn Cinema, $7 during the day especially. So I went to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. And in the very beginning, before the movie started, there was a narrator. And what the narrator said really caught my attention, and I had to remember it. And I shared it. I shared it with people at work. I shared it with some tennis friends. And that is behind us on the screen. Truth is blank. Anybody? Anybody know? Anybody see the movie that might remember that? I think my family over there might remember because I told them. And my family's here, my daughter and her husband and their 4 kids. Truth is vanishing. Think about that. Truth is vanishing around the world. Leaders cannot be trusted. And yet, the Word of God is truth. What we have before us in our hands is God's truth to us. He would not fool around with giving us His truth. God means what He says. The second one, also current in our culture. Anybody want to take a shot at this one? War is increasing. Good. War is coming. And yet, it's already here. When we think about our world today, we may not have 10 years from now. We don't know. But North Korea, China, Russia, Iran? We don't know. The future is uncertain. War is coming. In fact, the scriptures talk about that. Wars and rumors of wars. So we come today to Jesus, our Savior. And those songs today put us in the right mood for this message today. Thank you for being here. I tried to chase the ABF people away last Sunday as I told them I was going to speak and suggested they might all want to be away for the weekend. They're here, many of them. So, here we are. Jesus, our Savior. And these are artists' renditions of what Jesus may have looked like. And it's interesting that that other part is there behind it. You can't see it. It's not here, but it's down there, which is interesting. Okay. The fact that artists like to do that is obvious. My mom had her favorite portrait of Jesus, and I'll mention her a little later. So, why? Why did Jesus come? What was his goal or purpose? When I was 15, as Nathan said, I came to the Lord in a little church in Northeast Philly, and God was really working on my mind and heart. And one Sunday morning in December, I went forward, gave my life to Jesus. About 5 years later, I was able to lead one of my cousins to the Lord. Bob and Doris know who this is, David Reed. He's my cousin. And David also went to Cairn University and then ended up in Africa, serving the Lord with his wife and their four children. And David was much more gifted than I in language, so he learned Swahili and was in the Tanzania area. In fact, I saw his wife. I was in Poland, and I was watching the news, and the bomb in Tanzania at the embassy, and CNN interviewed Penny on TV, and I got to see her on TV. Pretty remarkable. I've seen a lot of people I know on TV. I don't know how that happens. Probably because I watch a lot of TV. Duh. I don't know. Okay. A few years later, like 7 or 8 years later, my parents came to the Lord. My mom was 48. My dad was 47. And we were in church in Tennessee. The message had gone forth. And I asked my mom and dad, do you guys want to trust the Lord today as your Savior? They both said yes. And I said, well, we're going to have to go down to the front. Okay. We all went down to the front. I introduced them to one of the pastors, and he talked to them for a few minutes. And then they were baptized right on the spot. Yeah, pretty unusual. And then they got involved in the same church where I had come to the Lord, and they served the Lord at that church. They got involved. My mom in providing food for various meals, and my dad as an usher. And they grew. I went to Bible studies quite a bit. So there was a radical change in my life, and the life of my cousin, my parents' life. And that's what Jesus does. He changes us. And maybe there's some people here today. You need Jesus to change your life. He can do that. That's why he came. Jesus, our Savior. Again, other pictures. denoted by artists. But we do not know, do we? We don't know what Jesus looked like. We don't have any idea, really. I mean, we could kind of picture a Middle Eastern person. If you've seen The Chosen, that gives you an idea. But we don't really know what Jesus looked like. And I'm glad we don't know. It should inspire our faith that we don't know. So, we do know why he came and what he did. And that is the main thing. Why he came and what he did. So, when we come to this slide, we can look at our handout, if you do those kind of things, and you can think about some of the things that Jesus did. He came to live among the people of that day. He came to talk to them. He came to walk among them. He came to love them. He did miracles that touched people's lives, that changed the direction of their lives. He came to give hope. That was one of the words in the song today. He came to teach. He came to teach truth, peace, mercy, faith, grace, and trust, and much, much more. And Jesus came to suffer, to die, raise again, and to save. To save us because we needed saving. Our sin had separated us from God. Luke 19:10 is pretty much the clearest statement from Luke's writing. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Can't get any clearer than that. That's the words of Jesus. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen? Amen. Amen. First Peter is our text for today. I'm guessing you're surprised we got there, but we did. And I'd like to read the first 9 verses. So if you have your Bibles, now would be a good time to grab them. First Peter. I did not choose from John. I did not choose from Paul. I chose from Peter. And there's a reason for that. I started reading this chapter in 1 Peter probably 2 months ago. Pastor Chris approached many of us, and I began to think about this chapter. 1 Peter, first 9 verses is what I'm going to read. Verse 1, from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those temporarily residing abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, the province of Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by being set apart by the Spirit for obedience and for sprinkling with Jesus Christ's blood. May grace and peace be yours in full measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is, into an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is reserved in heaven for you, who by God's power are protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This brings you great joy, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. Such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold, gold that is tested by fire, even though it is passing away, and will bring praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You have not seen him, but you love him. You do not see him now, but you are attaining, but you believe in him, and so you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, because you are attaining the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, I would like to challenge you. My friend, Herb Fisher, spoke to me earlier before the service started, and he asked if I was going to challenge you. So here is the challenge. I want you to study 1 Peter chapter 1 this week. You have a handout, you have key words, you have a key verse. There are more key words. For instance, there's one key word that I did not put in the list, and it's mentioned more than any other time. That's the word, time. Four times that word is mentioned. And there's another one. Anybody looking on the list that says, that word looks out of place? What word looks like it's out of place on that list? Anybody?
Now.
Now. Who said that? Very good. Susan did.
I learned at dinner
table. What an amazing miracle. Thank you. Now. The reason that's important, it's three times in this passage. Peter was concerned about the urgency of his message in chapter 1. The salvation of our souls. What Jesus did for us, what Jesus did for Peter. So, I'm just going to mention these things as you see them there. New birth into a living hope, great joy, the character of our faith. I want to pause there because that's in the context of trials. When trials come, it's to test the character of our faith. Is it weak? Do we cry out? Do we scream? Do we holler, it's unfair? The trials are to test the character of our faith, the intensity of our faith, the reality of our faith. Then attaining the goal, the salvation of our souls, getting our minds ready, setting our hope, becoming holy ourselves, the precious blood of a spotless lamb, namely Christ. Did you notice that in the song? The spotless lamb of Jesus who went to that cross. No sin in his life. Perfect sacrifice for us. And your faith and hope are in God all through the chapter. Now is where you come to get involved. Over here to my left, to your right, is a whiteboard. I like to use the whiteboard. And we have four words. And the first word was also in one of the songs. Pretty good. Any guesses? Fair. Thank you. Fair is correct. All right, I think if I get over here, I'm not going to fill the letters in. You have space on your handout if you want to fill them in. You may, because I'm going to trick you a little bit. Fair. And the bottom one, the top one and the bottom one are the two that go together. So we're going to go to the bottom one now. Life is not fair. How many of you have learned that already? Oh, from experience. Yes. They used to say there were two kinds of motorcycle riders. How many motorcycle riders here today? A few. They used to say, and they still do, there are two kinds of riders. Those who have fallen, and those who will. I don't like it. Okay. Fair. Life cannot always be fair. But here we have the word forgiven. We are forgiven. And the reason that's important is because we get upset. Maybe we question God and His sovereignty when it comes to what happens in our lives. And we sin. I know someone personally who got upset, cursed God in my presence, and left the faith. He was older than myself. He was my boss. And he left the faith, denounced Christ, went away from the Lord, never got back into church again. The only time people would see him would be at a funeral. So sad. Even sadder was his name was Tom, same as my name. Okay. Faith, fair. Fair and forgotten, forgiven, sorry. Now I'm thinking of these other words. And they go together too. Anybody know the second one? Good. Fear. I'm really pleased because that means you're still awake. Fear. Fear happens. And yet for the Christian, there shouldn't be fear. If war is coming, there shouldn't be fear in our hearts. Our faith should be strong. Our belief, our trust in the Lord should be strong. In fact, what's the next one?
Faith.
Faith. Excellent. Man, I wish I had candy bars for all you guys that are getting these right answers. Faith, fear, and faith. Fear is without faith. Fear doesn't demonstrate faith. Think about that. Faith wipes out fear. Jesus said over and over again, do not be afraid. Many, many times through the New Testament. So, we come to the next. And I'm going to read this for us. Jesus, our Savior. Peter was so drastically changed. He was a fisherman. Peter was not educated. He was not a rabbi or a teacher. His life was drastically changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, his Messiah. Through all of the mistakes and the mess ups, Peter became a leader of the 12. Peter had this up and down relationship with Jesus. Isn't that what we have? If you are not a follower of Jesus yet, maybe today the Holy Spirit, by God's word, has been making you restless. Making you see your need of Jesus. Life is not about being fair. It is about being forgiven. Jesus came to die for our sin. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? He can be your Savior now, today. Going to pray, and I want you to know that when this service is over, I'm going to be down here. I'm going to wait. Anyone who would like to come and talk a little bit, share what might be on your heart. Take some courage. I did it when I was 15. My parents did it when they were in their 40s. My mom got baptized, and she got her hair done every week. Yeah. Courage. Spirit of God working in your life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our minds. Thank you, Lord, for each one who's here this morning. Thank you for your desire for them, your plan for them, your calling for them, your purpose for them. Lord, we pray that you will guide as we conclude our service this morning. We pray that you will open our hearts and minds to what you have for us through the day, through this month. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the salvation we have in you. What a Savior. Amen.